What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome back home. 60% off, 60% off, 60 at RIJ. Tomorrow at the Bartlett location, you walk in, everything that's in front of you is going to be 60% off. And this isn't that fugazi, all right, we're going to mark everything up and then we're going to mark it back down and people are going to pay because they psychologically think it's just cheaper. Nope. It's 60% off what the price is today. 60% less tomorrow. From 10 to 4, out at the Bartlett location at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Howie's running this thing back. Only comes around once every so often, maybe once every 5 years. And he's doing it again tomorrow. So make sure you get out there. Earrings, necklaces, name brand watches, you name it. Want to save some money? Best time to do it. Tomorrow, Saturday, in Bartlett at RIJ.
Well, if you want to get the truly best selection, because you got over 1,000 items to choose from, you want to have all of it to choose from, again, at all 60% off, you're going to want to get there at 10 a.m. Take advantage. Get there early, because, again, this stuff's going to be there till it's gone. Howie's moving it, okay? That's thus the 60% off. So come in early on this 10 to 4 p.m. sale, and you'll be able to take even greater advantage. Howie's always got special financing available up to 6 months interest-free at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Again, this Saturday, it's at the Bartlett store only at the corner of Bartlett Boulevard, Stage Road, right next to that Kroger. Sale will end at 4 p.m., 10 to 4. Take advantage. For complete details, go online to rijewelers.com.
All right, so we do have the NCAA tournament tonight, continuing the Sweet 16. Wow. It continues, and it will kick off with Marquette, NC State. A little Memphis flavor there as Cam Jones is going to be in action. I will say, like, it does not hit the same when Memphis is not in it, though. You're, like, having to find reasons to get people engaged in the tournament, you know, in Memphis.
Did you see what his dad said to Margianato?
What did his dad say?
Everybody talks about how Cam wasn't recruited by Memphis, and Cam has even talked about that. But Cam's father said, I'm paraphrasing here, I can go get the direct quote, but essentially things could have been a little different if Penny had tried, you know, if he had tried to form a relationship. Again, right. Penny's recruiting at a high level. He had the number one class that year. We get it. We understand. But he also didn't have a point guard
right.
After he missed out on Kennedy Chandler. He decides to go with Monty Bates. Highly rated, yes, but not a point guard.
Right.
You know, you have Alex Lomax as a fallback plan. We know the rest of the story. Again, you know, guy like Cam Jones. We discussed this at great length with Mark on their show yesterday, but, you know, he's more of an example. Cam Jones, you put him in here, there's no guarantee you're making the run that Marquette is. Of course not, but he is more of the example of what it feels like right now Memphis is missing. The multiple-year guys that will stay, right? Cam stayed through a coaching change at Marquette. He was so committed to the program. He liked what Shaka was saying after he comes in after Woj, but he stayed. Loyal kid. Comes from a loyal family.
Right.
And there are those. That's the point I was making to Gina. There are still those kids out there in Memphis. Hell, they don't have to be from Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
But there are still those loyal kids out there that will buy what you're selling about tradition, culture, and everything else. You've got to find them. Again, a lot of times they don't, John, have the 4 and 5 stars. But Penny's got to be willing, if
right.
They're there, to, again, identify those guys, bring them in, because their value may be greater for you in year 2, year 3, those kinds of things. So, again, it's about finding the right balance and right formula for Penny and roster construction right now. And, yeah, there's, you know, again, we've even looked at it. There may not be another guy around here prospect-wise until until 2 years. The 2026 class
yeah.
That's coming out that are sophomores right now. You know, Fred Jones, you got Keeper Jackson in there. You know, there's some pieces that the kids at FACS are outstanding. And so maybe it's then that you decide, but you've got to try to find these stories and get them into your program because they're benefiting other teams right now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, you know. I hate to hear that. Memphis is worth investing in, but, you know, it is different. It is a little harder. And so you got to really get in there early. You know, you got to get in there early. And I don't know if, you know, because I remember back when James Wiseman was, you know, he was still uncommitted. There was like this big question in the summer of whether he would transfer to, where was he thinking about going? He was thinking about going somewhere.
Vegas,
right?
Out with there, yeah. With PJ's dad.
Yeah, Finley Prep or something maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and it was a big deal when he came back to East. Remember, like, we were covering him being enrolled back at East.
Makes it easier for Penny.
Yes.
And Penny has talked about that when it comes to Billy and Curtis, that it's tougher when they're out of town. And you can subscribe to that because that's what we were saying about James. But it cannot be an excuse, John.
No, it cannot be an excuse.
It can't be an excuse of why you can't keep Memphis talent at Memphis anymore. That job description hasn't changed. You're supposed to keep the best here.
Right.
And particularly definitely the ones that can help you. So, again, it's about locking it back down. Because, frankly, it's forget not identifying Cam Jones as a guy, you know what, that can help me down the road. You missed on Billy Richmond. You missed on Curtis Gibbons. So you ain't even getting the ones you're after around here anymore.
Right.
Got to lock it back down. Period.
That's true. That is a stone cold fact. Now, I don't know. I mean, are you of the opinion or the knowledge that it's going to be better in the coming years here from a talent pool perspective?
Yeah, I mean, when you say better, again, a lot of times the way we've discussed this, John, we've looked at it through the prism of, are you a 4 or 5 star? Yeah, those are coming. That's what I'm talking about with you know, this class in a couple of years, these guys that are sophomores now. Fred may get up to that. You know, a lot of that is what you're doing in the summer and the spring. Are you playing with Team Thad? Are you blowing up on the circuit?
Right.
You know, in terms of ranking level. But those players, and Fred particularly, I mean, he's been at Tigers games. His father, a huge fan of Penny, of that program. That seems like a guy we're talking about here that you know, has grown up a Tigers fan, has been around it, is growing up saying, okay, I want to play at Memphis. Again, those guys are still out here. I'm not saying get a team full of them. You'll probably end up with the same sort of dysfunction because Lord knows you got a team full of Memphis kids and everything, all the voices and the ears and everything that goes with it. That's a whole other set of problems. But you are missing this element right now. The East kids and Tyler Harris had provided it for you in a way, sort of. If we're not talking about production here. We're not talking about where you finished. We're talking about in terms of keeping your right culture going, your identity. That's gone now.
Yep.
You got to find out where that next crop is. You don't have the East kids to fall back on anymore. So you've got to, you know, that again is it's a part of the solution. It is not the fix,
right.
But it is a part of finding again this proverbial balance we're talking about for Penny.
Well, I think that's kind of the backdrop tonight, right? Mason doesn't count because Mason was if his dad wasn't here.
Well, I was going to say once Mike left, that was not going to happen.
Right? Yeah. So, and I'm not even convinced Mason would have been here. I mean, you know, there's a chance that Mike would have told him, you know, somewhere else. I don't know that for 100% fact. You would think he would 100% come here, but I don't know that. So it's hard to consider. But Cam Jones, definitely. That was one where, you know, and I don't remember what his, you know, status was at high school. You know, I don't remember hearing his name a lot, I guess.
Again, COVID, all those things were slowing things down, but he was like top three in the state. I mean, there were services that had Cam Jones. You had Norton Hurd, again, his coach, saying this is the best player in 2001. There were folks saying back then, Cam Jones is a good one.
Yep.
Okay, so it's not like it was just silent over there at ECS and nobody heard this kid. He came completely off the radar. Here's what he told Giannotto. It was a chip on my shoulder, but I knew I wasn't going to Memphis, Jones said, so it saved them some time too. But a year later, as Giannotto points out, when told of this answer, his father had a different take. I'm reading from Giannotto's column on Cam Jones of commercialbill.com. I think he said that because there wasn't really a relationship built. Said Kevin Jones. It could have been different had there been a relationship and they recruited him. So, again, you know, there have been some mistakes here locally that have come back to haunt you.
Yep.
Particularly in this time where you've gone to transfer poorly, you've decided this is my route, it backfired on you this year. So some of these mistakes and these passes that you've taken on guys have come back to cost you. Got to clean it up. Got to clean it up. And again, not suggesting this is the end-all, be-all fix for Penny. Boom, you're back in the tournament. You're making Sweet 16s next year, having Memphis guys. No, Those guys aren't out there right now that you can bring in here and have ready to go. But they are a part of the mix.
Yes.
A valuable part of the mix.
Yeah, so that's going to be a good one tonight. We've talked about Houston-Duke. We both agree there that Houston's physicality is going to overwhelm Duke. I'm a little worried that I don't hear a ton of love for Duke, considering it is Duke. Because you always expect, you know, there to be a bit of a bias or an agenda for them.
I predict we see the inner punk come out of Kyle Filipowski tonight as he is frustrated and pushed around by this Houston team that will not care about the fact that you are a lottery selection or whatever else. They're going to punch you in the mouth. And we've seen Kyle get frustrated when you're doing that to him this year. So it's going to be, a level of physicality that discombobulates and frustrates Duke.
Right.
He ain't far from Grayson Allen, bro. I'm telling you right now. Y'all have given Kyle a pass that you didn't give to Grayson Allen.
Not me, bro.
I guess Grayson did it repeatedly. But we've seen it. I'm telling you right now, he faked the He faked the injury on the court storm.
Yes, he did.
Thank you.
I mean, he definitely did. There's no.
And he definitely tripped the the UNC player or whatever else. And he's like, I don't know anything else about it. Man, stop.
Exactly.
But those Duke kids, they most of the time they'll get the benefit of the doubt. Y'all didn't give that to Grayson though.
Well, Grayson did it multiple occasions.
It was just too in our face.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the difference. Is that
I guess technically it's only one for Kyle in terms of tripping.
But I think if this is officiated like the Texas A&M game was officiated, yes, I think Duke wins. But it won't be because Texas A&M kind of forced contact, right? They crashed the glass. Texas A&M just throws the ball up, right, off the backboard and gets the rebound.
That's really what Wade was doing.
Yes.
Just kind of throwing it up there, waiting for it. It was like their best offense. Miss and y'all get the rebound.
And Duke doesn't do that. Duke doesn't have a rebounder like that, okay? They just don't. And so if this is anything like I suspect it will be, this should be a spot for Houston to I don't want to say roll, because I think Duke, but I will say this. I think Jared McCain going off the way he went off against James Madison might have been the worst thing for him.
Mm.
Because now there's no surprises. Mm. Now it's like, oh, that's you in March? Okay, we're going to turn that water off, right? It's going to be focus. Shed's going to be on McCain. And McCain's, to his credit, pretty unflappable. But again, I got to pull up Duke's schedule. I feel pretty good that they have never seen a team that resembles Houston style. I just don't think they have. Who they play? They played Arizona at home beginning of the season, lost. Lost at Arkansas, lost at Georgia Tech, lost to Pittsburgh at home, you know, lost to Wake Forest there. I just don't think this is they just haven't. They have not played a team that's anywhere. They did beat Baylor on a neutral, 78-70. But again, Baylor only had that one, only Eve Missy. Like, that's not how they play. They don't bang with you. They're not known for their defense. You know, they're known for their offense. And that's what Duke's going to win games like that. If you're playing if you're playing a team that wants to score and outscore you, Duke's going to be in a great position there. But if it's a team that wants to play, you know, muddy and, you know, just kind of, you know, spar with you and, you know, just take you sort of down to the deep waters, which, again, I'm looking at their schedule, few teams that have done that, you know. Like, they don't have – stylistically, they just haven't seen a team like Houston. There aren't many that do play like Houston, you know. Like, I don't know how many other teams are similar, but nobody on this schedule has been. There's no question about that.
Who's better equipped to beat Purdue – should Purdue get past Gonzaga as we expect, Creighton or Tennessee?
Ooh. I would say Creighton because they have that big.
Brenner, you going to keep bringing this dude up as if he can stop Zach Edey?
Well, he's got a better chance than anybody on Tennessee is what I would say.
Tennessee's got dudes, though.
Yeah, they do, but none of them are skilled. I mean, that's the issue. Like,
saying you have to have an offensive big that can make Kalkbrenner work on both ends.
Kalkbrenner can shoot the three.
I know.
He can. He's not great at it, but he can. So I think that's the difference. He could at least bring Edey out. You'll have to keep him honest, right? He'll keep in a way that Tennessee's big.
I'll listen to that. Tennessee doesn't have a big that can bring Edey out in that way.
I mean, Tennessee's big scrap and they fight and they claw who is it? Adu and Awaka, like they kind of are the same thing, like non-offensive bigs who are going to use their physicality to be effective. but that doesn't scare Edie.
No, you did a good
Edie.
Job with that on the fly. Yeah, that's a good answer.
Yeah.
Tennessee doesn't have that guy.
Yeah, so I think Creighton
that
would
can
be.
Can stretch you out. And you do need to pull Edie out.
Yes, that's the only way. And so I think Creighton would be. But again, Creighton's an underdog tonight for a reason. You know, Tennessee is a complete team.
None of those big shoot?
No. I mean, Josiah Jordan James isn't a big.
No, he's not. I'm not counting him. I mean, they don't have a guy that's even a threat. That's true. That could hurt us.
But you got to get through Tennessee tonight, and I don't think that's about a guarantee if you're Creighton, you know. But, yes, I think Purdue would much rather see Tennessee, no doubt about it, than especially given Rick Barnes, right? Who do I think, you know, Matt Painter would rather match up against, Rick Barnes or Greg McDermott? I think he'd choose Barnes every time, you know. So, there are some.
Adu, is that how you say it?
Yeah, Adu.
3 of 15.
Yeah, not a threat. Complete. Don't even have to guard him out there.
At all.
And they would do that. They would let him, like, they would Tony Allen him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's a problem.
And I think, like, again, Cogburn is only shooting 30% from three, but he does take them.
Yeah,
you know?
It's about being a threat. Right. You know you don't have to go guard Adu with Kalkbrenner. At least he'll knock down a few of them. You got to go
out
there.
Yeah, he takes 1.6 a game. So that's not nothing for a guy his size. And he made a big one against Oregon. So, you know, you got to at least – you leave him too open, he will make them. That's the thing. And so I think that's why you would say Creighton in that spot.
No, I think that's a good answer.
Gonzaga-Purdue is interesting. Gonzaga's taking some money here midday. That's down to 5 from 5.5, and now it's shaded toward Gonzaga at the 5. You know, Gonzaga is just the only issue with me with them is they're really, really shallow. Like, they do have three bigs, though. They have Watson, Greg, and Huff. And they may have to go through all of them. But they do have – and Greg is a dog, bro. Ben, Greg – they have four bigs, excuse me. EK, Watson, Huff, and Greg. And I think that's maybe the interesting piece here is that – If EK gets in foul trouble, we have a couple of other guys. Like, Ben Gregg's a guy who can bring Edie out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of Ben you've seen, but he's a really good player. He had a great game against Kansas. So, you know, if there's some opportunity there, I could see Gonzaga at least keeping this close. I could see them making this a close game. If Gregg's out there making some big-time shots, I could absolutely see that. If that's not happening, though, and it's just going to be one of these games where, you know, they're putting Edie on the line the whole night. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be really tough for them.
That's what I foresee.
But, yeah, Ben Gregg's shooting 39%. He's 6'10 now. I mean, it feels like it could be that type of
– when you pull him out, though, do you almost take out the whole – well, there's no chance of drawing any fouls on him if we've got him out here. You almost need a guy that can do a little bit of both, right, and work him and go inside on him and be a real threat too.
Well, I could see,
because
like
– if he's just standing outside on his guy, you ain't going to get any fouls on him either. I mean, you still want that option open.
Yes.
Going against Edie.
Yes.
Getting him in foul trouble.
Yes.
If he's just out there guarding the perimeter, he won't get it.
That's true.
I mean, your guy's got to be able to go off the – you know, I mean
– you got Nimhard
that dude last night. That's why – he was a mismatch for UNC. My kid from North Dakota State that was at Alabama. We've already forgotten his name, the big boy, Grant Nelson. That's what he became a walking mismatch. He was inside, outside. He had two threes. He's driving in the bucket, everything else. They couldn't guard him. You're going to need something like that in terms of if you're attacking Edie. Can't just have him standing out there on the perimeter either. But I do think part of playing him is you're going to have to draw him outside. Helps you with the rebounding, everything else.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk to Rob Fisher about this, get his thoughts on the tournament, talk a little Grizz, all that, and more on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
ESPN. Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, he is Rob Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
Catch him on sidelines for Alley Sports, Grind City Media, where he does various things. A man of many talents and gifts. He joins us now. Hello, Rob Fisher. How we doing?
King of the parlay.
Doing well. How's it going, gentlemen?
Yeah, we're enjoying it, man. The dying throes of the NCAA tournament. Are you of the mind that when you get the upsets out of the way in the first round and then the best teams start winning starting on, you know, that Saturday or Sunday that the tournament is better for it? Or do you lament that there's no quote-unquote Cinderella still playing?
I'm okay if there's a Cinderella at this point. But then at this point, you know, they're normally weeded out. I mean, it's very rare that they are. Last year being an exception, I guess, if you call that a Cinderella, being a five seed. But, you know, it generally comes down to those teams get weeded out, and I'm good with it. I love the upsets in the first and second round. Brackets get killed in the third and fourth round. But I'm fine with it. I'm not one that needs Cinderellas at this point of the tournament, but if they're there, I don't mind it because I don't think it's going to last much longer.
Were you more shocked to see Carolina or Arizona go down? And I bring that up. I mean, Carolina obviously a one seed, but I think the number was bigger in the Arizona game. Which for you was the bigger surprise?
I think the bigger surprise was Carolina. I mean, we all kind of know Alabama, if they're making shots, they can score a lot and they can give you a problem, and it's just kind of a hit or miss thing. Well, they played pretty well last night, and I thought they played pretty well defensively. And it's amazing how many bunnies were missed by both teams, really, because I had the over in that game too.
Yep.
So I was sweating it until the end, but it did hit. But the Clemson-Arizona game didn't surprise me as much because Arizona killed me a lot this year when they played on the road. Now, they impressed me in the first couple of rounds, but I wasn't sold on them playing away from home, and so it didn't really surprise me that much. Clemson had been playing really good basketball, and they played really well last night again and got the win.
What do you make of Hubert Davis? Because I saw a lot of that on Twitter. Like Dan Wong, for example, was like, Hubert just did a terrible job. He was really bad and just seemed out of him. Are you as out on him as Dan was? Do you think, like, this is sort of exposing maybe he's not a great coach, especially considering what happened last year? Where are you on Hubert Davis?
I think it comes down to, you guys were talking about it earlier with Penny. It's hard. It's really hard to put these teams together, and really hard to have a team click and be great all year, and to go through the tournament. The tournament is about playing your best basketball at the right time, and you know, one slip up and you're done, and that's the case with him. I don't know. I don't watch them enough to say I don't think he's a good coach. I look at the end results, of course, and you know, you can speculate on things, but I think it's hard, man. I think it's a hard thing to do, and you catch the right team or the wrong team at the wrong time, and your day's done.
We know Grizzlies at the Orlando Magic tomorrow night. I've got to ask you, Rob, because you were watching it certainly more closely than we were. You're right up on it. What'd you think of how Brandon Clark looked? And, of course, you're seeing him, too, as he comes off, goes on, everything. What'd you think of BC?
I thought it was great to see him back. You know, just wanted – it was to hear Taylor Jenkins before the game say what he expected to see. He expected to see the same old BC. And I think we saw glimpses of the same old BC with the hop and the jump and just the bounce that he has in his step and the energy that he brings to the floor and, you know, making some winning plays, getting some rebounds, scoring some points. I mean, let's remember, we were expecting BC to come back, and I was talking about this with Brevin the other night, that it almost felt like people were expecting, you know, 20-10 from Brandon Clark to come back and be kind of a savior. And let's remember, this is a guy that averages 10 points a game in his career. It's just the other things that he does, the winning plays that he makes, that adds that energy to the team. But not only that, who else on the team can go up and get a lob? Who else on the team is as athletic as him right now? Nobody. He brings an athleticism to the team that they just don't have. And I think that's the biggest thing that he brings. And to see that work the other night, and to see him have that bounce and to look athletic, I think was a great sign, because it's just something the Grizzlies have sorely missed.
Yeah, we're talking to Rob Fisher, joins us every I wish he'd join us every Friday on the show. I tell you that right now. It feels like that's how I feel with you. It just feels so comfortable, basically, like you do join us every Friday on the show. He's here with us right now. In terms of the rest of the way here, right, is there anything to really glean or get out of it, or is it just like let's get to the end of this season and move full steam ahead into what will be a pivotal offseason? I'm just wondering if there's any more blood to get out of this stone this late in the year.
Well, you got to play them, so we got to do it. So you might as well get something out of it. I think the thing you get out of it is, you know, Bane, Jaren playing together. Bane, Jaren, and Brandon at times playing together, mm-hmm. just to get a little flow.
Little pieces to, here and there, right?
Yeah, and you know, to just kind of feel good about yourselves and feel like, yeah, okay, we remember how to do this, and we remember how to do it together. And, you know, it would be great if, you know, we haven't heard anything, but it'd be great if, you know, Marcus Smart could get in for a game or two, or Luke Kennard could come back and get in for a game or two, or... you know, have Vince Williams even to play with these guys for a game or two would be great. So I don't know if any of that's going to happen, but the minutes that these guys are getting together is only helpful. And, you know, these are great competitors who want to play. Dez desperately wanted to come back and play. Brandon desperately wanted to come back and play. I mean, you don't want to take another six months off of not playing. So I think it's good for them, and I think it's good as the unit for them to be together and to see how they work together. I mean, heck, we're watching games now. These last 10 games, we're going to have more NBA starting talent on the floor than what we've had for much of the season.
As more exciting than it's been, certainly. Let me ask you this, Rob, because I was listening to you the other night, and it was against the Lakers, and you were talking about how Taylor was saying to them, guys, we're not fighting right now. Like, we got to respond. We're not fighting. And listen, we know too, and this is, you have to be fair to Taylor. This was never a season where you're going to pass any judgment on him. Again, you look at how bare the cupboard is, everything they've been through. You can't, just in terms of the job Taylor's doing. But I thought, Rob, after your sideline report, when you were talking about that they did. I realized they cut it to 10. You know, for the most part, you know, LA was able to keep him at bay. But I did see a team that responded to him. And for the most part, even shorthanded, I've seen a team that's bought into him, a team that is responding to him even when he's challenging them through this tough situation. Just in terms of how you've watched that develop, you still see a team and guys that are bought into this guy and folks that are on the same page? It looks like it to me.
Yes, there aren't many instances, and I may have, when I did that report, I may have made it a little lighter than it was, because mm-hmm. Taylor got on him. He got on him really good during that timeout, and that hasn't had to happen a lot this year. I mean, that again, when you look at silver linings of this season, one of them is they compete.
Yep.
And they play really hard. I mean, there have been most of the games the opposing team hasn't been able to rest their starters. They've had to play them through the entire game. The Denver game was a dud, although credit Denver because they were amazing. The Brooklyn game at home was a dud. I mean, you can count them on one hand.
I'm with
the games that have been complete duds. And I think that's, yeah, I think it just goes to show the relationship between players and coach. It has not wavered at all throughout this season. It still goes both ways. And it's still guys in the huddle that pay attention to coach and guys who listen to him. And he listens to them. And that relationship hasn't changed at all, which has been really good to see, because when things go bad, you know, sometimes you can kind of drift off, and that hasn't happened. And the other night was a great example. He called for him to fight a little harder, and they came out and fought. And I thought Jake Laravia was the one guy from that moment on the rest of the game. He was unbelievable, diving on the floor, getting rebounds, getting to the free throw line, playing physical. He was showing fight. The team showed fight. What it did, it raised the Lakers' level of fight as well.
Yep.
When the Grizzlies raised their fight and started playing harder and got back in the game, the Lakers kind of turned it on as well. So they were able to keep the Grizzlies at arm's length.
We have seen even more from Gigi Jackson since the last time we've talked to him, had that 35-point game. I'm just curious, Rob, in terms of envisioning next season and obviously the hope having everybody here healthy and everything else. I'm not even going to, you know, I've seen some foolishness out there about possibly starting Gigi and all that. You're not going to hear that from me. But how can you use him next season? Because what we realize, right, it'll be less opportunity, even if it's as the ninth or tenth guy or whatever it is. How do you sort of envision that and his development coming along in a year where, look, your dogs are going to be back out front? But so you'll have to be efficient with less. What's your confidence level that Gigi will be able to handle it?
Well, he'll be 20 years old.
So young.
You know,
yep.
still is so young. So I think, you know, certainly not a finished product. Certainly nothing would be set in stone. I don't think as far as, like, right now thinking what his role might be. But you have to think his role is going to be being a guy that can come off the bench and score.
I do. Yes.
And the thing that I've liked about Gigi is Gigi learns from mistakes. And Gigi has found other ways to be involved in the game even when he's not scoring, whether it's getting rebounds, whether it's getting as few assists, whether it's getting steals on the defensive end or block shots. I mean, Gigi's doing something when he's not, you know, having the big scoring night, or maybe he's struggling. Even on nights that he's struggling to score, he gets to the free throw line and still gets his points somehow. So I think Gigi is showing those flashes of being able to do other things to where when his minutes go down and his role goes down, he can still make those type of plays.
Yeah. Talking to Rob Fisher, joins us here on the show. Catch him on Grind City Media. Catch him on Bally Sports on the sidelines. Can a team that loses twice to the Hawks, twice in a row to the Hawks, win the whole thing? Is that possible in the universe?
It shouldn't be. But, you know, maybe this time of year you overlook them, or guys don't play, or something. But yeah, that's embarrassing, because that's a team you shouldn't lose to twice in a row, for sure.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, appreciate the time as always,
Rob,
man. Great to catch up.
Thank you so much, brother.
Appreciate you.
All right, who we got tonight?
Houston.
Okay.
Yeah, just
now,
I mean,
I'm not real happy with my bet slip, because I got all four favorites tonight.
Yeah, now that's one you might need to. I don't know if you're in a state or in a situation where you can amend that, but you know, I have
to get the bet in before the plane takes off. So I gotta like all four favorites.
It's been a chalky tournament.
I was gonna say, is there a quote unquote upset that you've picked so far, Rob, that you're most proud of?
My Clemson pick last night. I was very proud of. And my Illinois money line. I was proud. Last night, 3-1. North Carolina was the only loss.
I'll take 3-1 all day long.
Yeah, at 3-1. You're retired in the Barbados, man. Man, people don't.
Yeah, so let's do that every night, Rob. Yeah.
I'll check into some things here in the next hour, and then or in the next 40 minutes, and then I'll get my bet in.
Are you? Do you happen to be street racing?
Oh, raceway. Is that job holding off?
Yeah.
Oh no, we would miss the answer.
I hope he didn't get injured in the race.
No, I think he's all right. I think he's good. He's actually, we caught him in the middle of a race, unfortunately.
Thanks, Rob, if you could hear us.
There he is.
Hey, Rob,
he
thanks, man. Yeah, good luck.
Thanks, brother.
Yep, he is Rob Fisher.
Thank you, Rob.
Yep. Bye-bye. He is Rob Fisher, Bally Sports drag racer.
I don't know. That sounded interesting.
No, he's like at that airport where all those are
coming.
They're fixing to get on the plane now.
Right.
Like,
so those are folks dropping the fast.
It's
the
crazy
off in
over
fast
there.
Cars.
Yeah, it's over at Winchester over there by the airport area.
Wilson Air, you're talking
about.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that it?
I think that's where he's at. He was just telling me off the air before he got on with you that they're like literally dropping and rocking and rolling over there.
Right.
So is that just regular Memphis traffic on Winchester balling, or was that like high level player car pulling off after dropping off these players?
I think your first one is the accurate.
It was just regular Winchester.
That is how Winchester sounds, Jason.
Down, yeah.
Have you been down there, man? It's a oof.
Oh, I've been on Winchester.
It's dog eat dog.
Yeah. All right, we'll come back and wrap this up on a Friday. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. Hey, if you're about to list at home, and I know a lot of you may be because it's springtime now.
Seeing the signs.
Yeah, they're starting to pop up. If you haven't made that choice yet, but you're leaning that way, before you do anything, reach out to the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency right here in Memphis. So to livelovememphis.com is the email address. Jason will give you the number here in just a moment. But here's the thing. You want to make the most money for your home, I assume. That's the goal. So that you can put it towards the next one, or you know, just keep the cash. You know, one of the things I did when I sold my house the last time, I kept some of the cash. I didn't put it all in the next house. I said, you know what? Sometimes cash on hand and liquidity is a little bit more important than a lower mortgage, in my opinion. I did it that way. You may do it a different way. Either way, you're going to have the option with the Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency, but you have to reach out first. So to Live Love.
Every time I pass by these now signs that are springing up all over because folks are putting their homes on the market, and I don't see that Live Love sign in the yard. I see someone else's sign. I shake my head. I think to myself, what are they doing? They made the wrong call. 901-625-5200. Do you want every last dollar possible for your home or not? You're going to get that from Live Love. They should be your first call. 901-625-5200. Nothing but success stories. And again, most of these stories involve the owner getting more than they thought was possible for their home. So whether it's on the selling side or the buying side, Jennifer Carson's going to take care of you, and she can do it in Memphis. She can do it in Nashville. She can do it in DeSoto. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the real estate agency.
All right, what's your plan for the weekend? What you got going?
Locked into games tonight.
Okay.
But you know what I've had the last couple of Saturdays? Me time.
Okay.
Fewer games for Chris. Because they mostly play in their little spring league on weekdays and everything else. And so old dad gets a chance on Saturdays to kind of have it all to himself. It's unusual.
Yep.
But I'm reveling in it. And so, you know, I imagine I'll be locked into Elite Eight on Saturday as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already off the Cubs. We're 0-1. Already my excitement level has gone to drop down to zero. I realize the Rangers are the defending champs. It's just one loss. There's 161 more. But we lost our number one pitcher. He went down in like the fifth inning to a hamstring. I said, this same old damn Cubs. And you know what? Maybe it's since 16, since the Cubs won the World Series. But I'm watching that game. I'm watching Rangers-Cubs yesterday, trying to be excited about opening day. And it just takes so damn long. I've never, maybe as I get older, I don't know, and I find my time more valuable just in the sense you don't want to waste anything. We don't have as much left. But in 16, I'm willing to devote three and a half hours of my life to watching a baseball game, a Cubs baseball game. Last night, I'm struggling to get through four, five, six innings of it before I'm like, man, I'm ready to go watch some basketball. Let me tune over then. I don't know. Maybe I've just, again, I got my championship.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's just a natural part of it. But
right.
That's a huge time investment.
It is.
Love me some baseball. I grew up on it, GN, everything else. But, man, invest in 3 hours. And I guess they're going faster now. Games are faster now. But it's
not
still
that
a good,
much faster.
You're going to be a good solid 3 hours, maybe a little less.
And absolutely.
It's just a lot of time for a baseball game. Again, you give me action all day, college football, going out, yeah. I could stick with it. I don't know. Maybe if the Cubs are good, I'll be able to invest. That was a long time to
that
invest.
Would help.
I had to click off. Like, it got bored, especially after my day one pitcher goes down
yeah.
to a hamstring.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no
trying to feel the ball. It was pathetic.
There's no
just our luck.
There's no way to really fundamentally change the time of the game, you know, because it could theoretically last forever. It could be a 12-hour game. You don't know. So, yeah, it's just not. And plus, when you don't have I don't even have any rooting interest at all, right? I didn't grow up watching it. I don't have a favorite player. I don't have any.
Yeah, we're not asking you to come in. Baseball's we don't
tough
need
sell.
You. We don't need you.
Tough sell, man.
We need others though.
Who's good? Who's the best? Dodgers.
Yeah, Dodgers, Braves.
How's Ohtani looking?
Looks good.
He
just got
run?
Some even with the distractions.
Wow.
Yeah, looks good so far.
Okay. Well.
But again, don't discount the Braves. You know, usually by the end of it. It may be their time now. It may be their time now.
Well, it's going to be a lot of baseball and NBA playoffs for you.
It is NFL draft season in my world.
Mm-hmm.
Know that.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's coming up for
what
sure.
Late April there, last week of April.
You gave me some advice. You gave me some advice to some guidance that the Raiders should draft Michael Penix because he throws the ball quickly. That's what you like about him, or that he runs fast?
Bro, what year of this show did you stop listening to me?
Bro, I heard.
Because it was all about his legs. Hell,
right.
You talking about his arm. It was about the
quarterback.
Time. It was about his explosion and everything else.
I don't care about that.
All you heard was a little joke. Jay say, John, this is his future quarterback. And then you tuned out the rest of it.
No, you said you should draft it because he's fast. I didn't know if you meant like his release or his legs.
His legs. I told you his 40 time. I don't remember him running very much. He has all of the tools past the ball. You knew that already. It's about whether or not those legs with two ACL injuries and surgeries, or whether or not those were going to hold up, looked pretty good. I'm telling you, the mobility, maybe a little more than we thought.
Yes.
This is a guy you want, John, to put behind. He could be Jordan Love. We don't know.
He could be.
And then Jordan Love sat a long time.
He did.
You wouldn't do that with Michael Penix and with Gardner Minshew as your quarterback. But my point is he can sit in waiting and be ready.
Well, Gardner is not the long-term answer.
Bro. I know. It's called bridge quarterback.
Yeah.
So it's apparent that you guys are going to go get a young one.
Exactly.
Surely you don't think that Aiden O'Connell is it. I mean, if you did, you don't bring in Gardner Minshew. You just hand it over. And so it seems like, again, you're not going to be able to get up into top five, top six territory to get one top five guys. So maybe, again, you find your way to get Penix, whatever that is.
Yes.
You know, maybe second round or whatever
else. Repaired legs. And he ran a sub-4.5 on surgically repaired. That's
pretty impressive.
Badass.
Had the vertical, had the broad jump and everything
so
else to go
badass,
with it.
Badass, man.
And that's the thing. I root for him because everybody said he can't do it. Everybody's doubted him at every turn. And
that's
no, he
crazy.
Didn't win a national championship, but this dude might end up being a good NFL quarterback.
Yeah, he might.
Anyway, yeah, it'll be a fun draft. All those quarterbacks, that's usually what happens. It's going to be a flurry.
It'll be better than Bo Nix.
Yeah.
I think that's probably true.
And J.J. How about that? Take that one. They're
sure.
Walking out a little bit. He will be better than J.J. McCarthy.
Well, marked and remembered, as you say.
He's going
to do it
bust.
For us today. Thanks to Rob Fisher for joining us on the show. Thanks to Anthony Sane. Gino and Jeffrey are up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis, celebrating a legacy of sports as the flagship home of the Memphis Grizzlies and Tigers talk. Always live on the Odyssey app and on smart speakers. Say play 92.9 ESPN.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.